New Energy from Hamburg. Perspektiven, Projekte und Persönlichkeiten. Wir sprechen mit den Menschen hinter der Energiewende.
Hello everyone, my name is Astrid Dose. I welcome you all to the 22nd edition of our podcast, New Energy from Hamburg. It's produced by the cluster Renewable Energy Hamburg. We are an industry network in the metropolitan region of Hamburg with 250 member companies in the field of renewables and hydrogen. Today, our guest is Ditlev Engel, CEO of the business area Energy Systems at DNV and member of the DNV Executive Committee. Prior to this role at DNV, Ditlev was the group president and CEO of the global wind turbine manufacturer Vestas Wind Systems AS between 2005 and 2013. Ditlev has been a driving force behind many global green investment initiatives, pushing the energy transition to the next level, including a role as Denmark's special envoy for climate and energy in the lead up to the UN Climate Summit in September 2019 in New York. We are very much looking forward to the interview with you, Ditlev. Welcome.
Thank you, Astrid.
At first, I have three short questions for you. The first one is, energy transition means to me?
The fastest and most reliable way to reach the Paris Agreement.
Perfect. I love working in the renewables because...
Just what I said in number one, it makes a lot of sense. It gives really a purpose and makes me run to the office.
Perfect. My most important wish for European politicians right now is...
That they would set decarbonization targets for every year going forward and make them binding.
Well, that would be very, very cool for every one of us. You personally entered the offshore wind industry in 2005. What inspires you the most in the sector and why did you change to the sector?
Well, I think the when I joined the sector in 2005, it was obviously at a very different place compared to where the sector is today. But probably the red thread in my life has been green. I've always found that the environment, the protection of the environment, whoever I've been involved in, to be very important. And when I got the opportunity to join Vestas and the industry back in 2005, I found it a very fascinating way to produce clean electricity. And on that journey, I have to say, I got a complete different understanding of the challenges we have when it comes to climate crisis. And so for me, it has just been a way to really understand that this is where we can make a significant positive contribution to decarbonize the world.
And in your opinion, which countries on a global basis are most successful in reaching their climate goals, respectively in the renewable sectors, and why?
I think first and foremost, we have to remember what the Secretary General of the UN said the other day, where he mentioned that according to the current expectations in the world, we are heading for a 2.8 degrees centigrade warming, where the Paris Agreement ambition level was 1.5, at max at 2. So what each country does is, of course, very important. But when we look at it, it has to be what the whole world does, which is really, really important. And Europe has for sure taken some very important steps, especially over the last 12 months, both on the regulation side, but also on the ambition side. So that's very positive. But what we do need to see, and that goes for all country, and that is to make sure that everybody have some very clear goals of how to bring down the emissions year by year. This will not only happen because you install a lot of renewable capacity. It requires a complete new thinking and approach in a system thinking and how each sector, both within the energy sector, but also in other sectors, are going to contribute to that. So I think it's way too early to say that we are in a good place or whatever. We need to see a complete different approach, and it has to happen from the top. So actually, I would say this topic goes way beyond the energy challenge. So it is about how do we, at least in the energy sector, scale up a lot more renewable, but also how do we decarbonize the current fossil fuel sector, which we will require for a number of years as well. So it has to be a strategy walking on two legs.
Hmm. You already mentioned Europe and their approaches and their regulations. What could European countries learn from the approach of the Biden administration in the United States? We all know about the famous Inflation Reduction Act. What do you think about that?
So I think that United States have for many years been a very driving force in this, also under previous administrations. But there is no doubt that what President Biden has done now with the Inflation Reduction Act is to take this approach to a completely new level. And it is an investment program of around $370 billion. And what is quite significant about the Inflation Reduction Act is that already now the money is flowing. It is not just a ambition level. It is an implementation program. So we are already now seeing that actions are being taken, projects are happening. And this is really where we need to get in the whole world. We need actions and we need implementation. And apart from helping United States to decarbonize their footprint and scale up new technologies, it also means now that when we look across the world, that this gets a lot of attention and resources. And in order for the energy transition to happen, it's not also going to be a competition over having the right people, the right resources, the right supply chain at your disposal. So making it a very attractive market means that many, many, not just American companies, but also overseas companies are now really wanting to get involved in the United States. So I would say the main difference here is that action is happening immediately. And this is also what we see in our daily life here at DNV.
Yeah, but on the other end, European countries started like the renewables business, also the offshore wind industry. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, because you're a Danish person, and we all know that Denmark was like the pioneering country in onshore and offshore wind. So a little bit about that Danish success story.
Well, first, and thank you for the kind words, but of course, in Denmark, we are 6 million people. So we are a very, very small country. But it's clear that Denmark have had a very and has a very important role in the development, for instance, in the wind sector. And basically, I think the best thing we can do in Denmark and what we have done is really to be in the forefront on the innovative solutions, and then hopefully the rest of the world can scale them. So if you think, for instance, about bottom fixed offshore wind, we saw, for instance, back in 2008, around there was maybe around 160 euros per megawatt hour. And just a few years later, that dropped to 63. So we saw a massive decline in the cost. And we have actually seen now that thanks to this belief in bottom fixed offshore wind from the early zeros in Denmark, this has now become a technology that is very price competitive, and that so many countries, if they have the right, let's say, possibilities to do so, to use bottom fixed going forward. So there, Denmark for sure have had a very important role. And on the other hand, we also have to say that Europe was, not just Denmark, but also European countries were the front runners in this. But we also have to understand that this is a global technology race that is going on. And therefore, in Europe, we really have to up our game in order to be ahead, not just on the wind sector, but within a lot of areas in that we're seeing in this industry, whether it's on solar, on smart grids, on storage, etc. It is really a technology race, which personally I think is very good, because that also means that we'll be faster in innovating. But everybody has to contribute. And the good news really here is that if everybody wants to get involved, there's a lot to do for everybody. And that also means that these sectors can create a lot of very exciting new jobs in many, many countries. It's not just for the one. And I think this is really one of the things we have seen as well, both in Europe, both United States, but also in other places, that it creates a lot of new economic activity that we did not have before.
That's really true. That's also part of our business. You participated in the Ostende Declaration at the end of April. We all know about that. What was your impression, your personal impression? Do you think European political leaders are really dedicated enough for reaching our climate goals?
I think they are. And for me, joining Ostende, I think there were two issues here that was very, very important. Obviously, some very ambitious targets, getting to 120 gigawatts in Northern Europe or Europe of offshore wind by 2030, going to 300. The ambition level is right. And this is the starting point. The second thing is that it was a gathering of heads of states. And that means that any major change in any country has to be driven from the top. So the fact that, for instance, the German chancellor was there, the Danish prime ministers were there, the Norwegian prime ministers were there, the French president, etc., the president of the commission, Ursula von der Leyen, and so on, really demonstrated the commitment from the top. Because this is not just about energy. I would say it's kind of a revolution, an industrial revolution, which requires that the way you think about industrial policies, education policies, tax policies, all this will play into if this is going to be possible. So I think that was fantastic to see the heads of states there. The other thing that I found very inspirational was that those of us who were there on behalf of business got to sit down at various tables and speak with one of the political leaders. And I was very fortunate to come to sit at the same table as the president of the EU Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. And it was fantastic to have that opportunity to have a very across the table informal dialogue with 10 business people and her, and really get some perspectives on it. And I really appreciate that she took the time and also that she had a very open mindset and was really engaging and very committed in the discussion. So that was also very good to see. And I have to say, over the last 12 months, we have seen massive improvements and changes coming out of the EU Commission. And I think the main message we also had around the table to her was implementation and action is what the industry need. It is fantastic to have high ambition levels for 2030. But what we need now are firm plans for 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, going up to 30. Not just because it gives a lot of clarity, but also if we do not have that clarity, we will not see all the required investment being done by the industry. And I think this is a very important takeaway. We do not have a technology challenge. We have an implementation challenge. So we have the technologies on the shelves. It is now all about releasing that potential into the market, both for the sake of the climate, but definitely also for the sake of energy security.
Sounds pretty impressive and amazing. So we are all hoping for that. And sounds pretty cool that you talked to Ms. von der Leyen. She seems to be a very passionate person about climate change or fighting against climate change. You were also a guest at this year's Hamburg Offshore Wind Conference in May. And you put a very famous quote there that you wanted to make employees run into the office and not just go into the office because of the excitement for offshore wind. Do you have any advices maybe for our companies how they should do that?
So at DNV, we are a purpose-driven company. And the purpose of DNV is to safeguard life, property, and the environment. And that is a commitment that goes way beyond just, in brackets, making money. We want to make a positive contribution to the acceleration and decarbonization of the world. And I fundamentally believe that the most successful companies are the ones that has a very important purpose for what they do. And we for sure have that at DNV. So I think for anybody in this industry or related industries, it's very clear if you want to have that commitment and dedication, people have to see a bigger meaning for what they do. And of course, it also, I would like to illustrate that if you go to the office, the speed is somewhat slower than if you run to the office. And if you run to the office, it's because you simply cannot wait to get there and get involved with your job, but also because the challenges we face because of this climate emergency is of a level that we simply have to move very fast forward together. And that is the leadership that needs to really make sure that people get aspire to this. And that, I think, is a very important part of leadership. And quite frankly, I think many companies can play a very important role here. It's about finding how you contribute to this. And we are seeing now in the EU, for instance, with the new taxonomy, the new scope 1, 2, and 3, that all businesses have to understand what is my contribution going to be to accelerating the decarbonization of Europe in this instance. And I'm sure, and we can see that with the young, many of the young people, that this is something which is fortunately very, very important for them, how to contribute to this. And it is our job as leaders to make sure that we create the opportunities for them to thrive and run to the office.
Looking into the future, how do you think Renewable Europe will look like in 2050? How many energy islands do you think will be installed by then?
That's a good question. I think energy islands are very exciting because it is a new way that you can think about how to scale fast. And I think one of the most important things that we all need to understand that if we're going to deliver on Paris, we can't do it in the way that we've done it before. Business as usual won't make it. We need to challenge ourselves, get out of our comfort zone and think big. And the energy islands is a very good illustration of that. But what is important here is not the competition between, for instance, offshore wind and solar and so forth. What is very important here is that we, for instance, in Europe, we build the right portfolio of technologies that we need. Some will be wind, some will be solar, some will be carbon capture and storage. Then people say to me, yeah, but isn't that technology too expensive compared to another one? But that's not how we should think about it. How we should think about it is how do we build the best possible portfolio of solutions that will get us to Paris? And every year we make a forecast in DNV about that. And what you can see there is, and if the world is going to deliver on Paris, the world have different starting places because of geographies, population, economic strengths, and so on. So getting, for instance, to zero in 2050, which a lot of people talk about in Europe, our view is at DNV that we have to do better than that. We have to go to minus. Otherwise, the other ones, the other parts of the world won't be able to deliver. And we are some of the richest regions in the world. So we will have to do even more than that. And that, I think, is extremely important to recognize that we need all the technologies in the toolbox and they all need to take their own role. And we shouldn't benchmark them necessarily against each other, what they cost, but we should understand what role they will play. So energy islands will be used for making electricity to the household, but they will also be used to produce hydrogen for shipping, for aviation and so on, which is, of course, today very expensive compared to the fuel that we use. But if it has to be a green fuel, then we will have to get that up and running and have the manufacturing capacity to do so. And this is where the energy islands will play a very important role. So our whole approach to thinking and mindset is probably also one of the very crucial things that we all need to align on, because otherwise, if we don't think the same, we won't feel the same and we won't act the same. And this is really what industry needs. It needs a scalability and a standardization in order for this to happen. And islands will be one of the pieces in the puzzle.
It's very nice closing words. We are all excited to see it and to be part of this exciting development, of course. So I thank you a lot for your time, for your passion and your explanations about the energy transition. Thank you very much and see you soon, hopefully, at the Hamburg Offshore Wind Conference in 2024.
Thank you for having me.
Das war die aktuelle Folge von New Energy from Hamburg. Seien Sie auch das nächste Mal wieder dabei, wenn wir mit den Menschen hinter der Energiewende sprechen. Sie finden alle Folgen und mehr zu diesen und anderen Themen sowie unsere Social-Media-Kanäle in den Shownotes. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören.